Would you all please stand?
Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things, endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched hand, love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise. God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever, and by the grace of God we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. Sing praise.
There's a key change coming up.
Sing praise.
We're gonna go up.
Sing praise.
You ready for it? Here it comes.
Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever, forever.
About that for the first one in the morning, huh? Wake you up. Elevator ride to the second floor. All right, so it's great to have you here this morning at Cornerstone. It's great to see so many people out. After being away for like half a month, thanks, snow. No, thank you. I mean, I like snow too, but after a point, it becomes a little ridiculous. So we're going to do a hymn that I just thought of this week. And it's not new, but I'll confess, sometimes when I put songs together for Sunday, it's because I need them. I've been singing these throughout the week. So this is a longer one, so just hang with us. And don't rush it. Take your time and appreciate the words. When I in awesome
consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, oh, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou
Sometimes it's good to take a moment of silence and just reflect on something. All right, welcome to Cornerstone. Kids, third grade and under, you can head down to Children's Church. They've got a great program planned for you. Say hello to the folks around you. We do have a question of the day about this stupid rodent that we pay attention to once a year. Shadow or not. And do you care? I don't care.
All right, wow, it's quieted down. You guys are ready. Oh, it's been tough the last couple of weeks not being able to be together. I am glad that we can meet up. I was not excited when early in the week they talked about another storm coming and very happy that they went off to sea. It's good to be back together in person, right? Well, welcome. Some of you guys are new here for the first time. Some of you guys have been here for a while, but it is good to be physically together. It's good for us. We got some different things. I had a morning, a little bit of a morning today. Like, sometimes Sunday mornings can be bumpy, and this one was a little bit bumpy, but it's okay. Bumps happen, right? Anybody else have any bumps this week? Yeah, bumps happen. All right, so we're going to think about not the groundhog. We're not going to think about the groundhog. I don't care what the groundhog does. We're going to get 6 more weeks of winter. Like, that's how it is, right? But we are talking about beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. It's a series we started, like, I don't know, 6 months ago. Like, it seems like not actually that long, but we're 2 weeks in. We got 2 weeks to go. This is week number 3. But we're talking about bringing the good news to people who we care about and how to do that. So just to kind of get started, I have a question for you guys. Here's a question. If you had to choose a single word to describe what God wants with us, what would it be? One word to describe what does God want with us? And just throw it out there. Let me hear. There's any kind of answers, it's fine. Faith. Companionship. Love. Obedience. Fellowship. Did I hear salvation? Yeah.
Relationship.
What?
Reverence.
Relationship.
Gratitude.
Reconciliation. These are good words, guys. Good words. I like that. Lots of words we could choose. And as I think about it, what we find across the pages of the Bible and through the course of history, there's one story that God is telling from beginning to end. And that is that he wants a relationship with us. And most of the words that you guys shared have to do with that. He wants a relationship, but the other thing we find throughout the course of history and throughout the history of the Bible is that that relationship has been broken. So if you've been here for like more than 6 months, some of you have not been here that long, but if you have been, do you remember the 4 words that tell the whole story of the Bible? 4 words. Anybody remember who's been here maybe a little bit longer? Anybody remember? Feel like that was a long time. Okay. This is going to maybe remind some of you guys. Creation. Second word.
Fall.
Third word. Redemption. And last word. Rise. Something like that. It's a little bit longer. Restoration. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Those are the 4 words that describe the whole story of the Bible. And some of you knew, you're like, I'm not going to say. Some of you forgot. That's okay. But creation starts there. God made it all beautiful, perfect, good, and whole. And we were part of God's beautiful creation. Created in the image and likeness of God. Human beings with tremendous capacity for good or for evil. And that leads us to the second word, the fall, because we walked away from the perfect to make our own story, our own adventure, but it turned out to be a nightmare. We chose evil. We should have trusted God. But the story doesn't end with the fall. Then God comes, redemption comes next because of God's incomprehensible love for us. God doesn't just let us go, just flush us. He doesn't do that. He comes after us. He dives into the toilet with us into our brokenness, and he sends his son right into that mess to rescue us from ourselves and the disasters we had made. And that's the world we live in now, a world full of evil, brokenness, and redemption. But this isn't the last stop. Redemption is beautiful. It's great. But there's one more: restoration. That's what's coming. Ultimately, those who receive redemption through Jesus will one day find themselves fully restored, made whole, and able to fully enjoy the beautiful, perfect, good creation with God forever, as it was meant to be. So that's the story. That's the story in four words. And when we embrace this as the one story God is telling, we turn back to God from the dark story we were telling ourselves. We experience relationship with God. And it's a relationship which grows the same way normal human relationships grow, over time, through investment, with ups and downs along the way. But it keeps growing richer and deeper as the years go by, just like healthy marriages do. So, Beautiful Feet, this is a series intended to teach you and us how we can help people find their way back to this kind of relationship with God. Because if we have it, we want to share it. If you really have a relationship with God, you want to share that. So this whole series is about helping us be better equipped to do that, to share that with other people who want it. Not to push it on people who don't, but to be ready for people who do. So the first week of the series, we talked about the beauty, the joy of partnering with God in leading people to Jesus. And I hope it's something you want to be part of, not just something you feel guilty about. We don't want to live by guilt. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to desire to be part of his work. Second week, we talked about this farming aspect. And this is like weeks ago, it seems, because we had to cancel a couple times. But the farming aspect of bringing the good news to people. If you remember that, people's hearts are like soil, right? And if the soil isn't ready, the seed won't grow. So because of that, part of our job is to help prepare the soil of people's hearts. We're not just throwing seed around randomly. We're also focusing on the soil and trying to see that the seed that we're planting is getting in good soil. So hopefully each of you guys have a couple of people that you're doing your best to love. People who don't know Jesus, that you want to invest in their life. You want to befriend them in hopes that God maybe someday will be at work in their heart and use you to actually share the good news with them. Because any of us can do it. So we talked about pi squared: pray, invest, invite. It's just a way to keep that in mind for us and keep intentionally loving people who are near us. So this week, after our two-week intermission, thanks to my favorite type of precipitation, we're talking about actually sharing the good news with people. Like, all of a sudden, this opportunity comes up, somebody wants to know, and you're ready to share. So how do you share the good news without being obnoxious or preachy? How do you do that? What do you say? Do you tell them your story? Do you share them with them some Bible verses? Or maybe just give them a Bible, say, here, read this. What do you do? Are you prepared to share the good news? Are you prepared to share the good news when God gives you an open door? Just think about that. If someone wants to know how to know Jesus, am I ready to talk to them about that? A couple weeks ago, I have permission to share this. Ashley told me about this beautiful opportunity God gave her the other day. She's with one of her hospice patients who did not have long to live. And kind of naturally, he's thinking about death. And it turns out he seemed pretty defeated about it. He was really down in the dumps. And being a sensitive person, she noticed that, could tell, and just like, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? And so he was thinking about death, and he told Ashley, I'm pretty sure I'm going down. And he used his thumb. I'm going down. And didn't seem like that. In his mind, it was too late for him to do anything about it. He's got a few days to live. Like, it's over. I'm going down, pretty sure. Okay, let's stop the story right there. You are the hospice nurse. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that? What do you say? Maybe you'll claim separation of church and work. Ignore his spiritual cry. Guys, that man does not have peace with God. He does not have, and his time is running out. Would you be ready to share the gospel with him in a way that's clear and anchored to God's word? Are you ready for that? I have one nod. Good thing you are here today. It is a good thing. Guys, we are God's representatives. God is not sending millions of angels down to earth to sit next to somebody and say, hey, let me tell you the good news. He's called us to do it. He has called us to do it. What if you were that person with that opportunity? Not every moment is an appropriate time to have a full-on conversation about the gospel. If you're on the clock, sometimes you need to, but schedule an appointment. Like, are you ready to do something to take an to walk through that door? If God opens a door like that, are you ready to engage? That's the question for today. When the Apostle Paul talks about the armor of God, familiar with the armor of God? You heard about some of that here and there. So he talks about the armor we need for the spiritual battles we face every day. One of the pieces of armor, and it's the one I am most likely to forget if I'm thinking through the armor of God. This is the one I forget most often. It's for our feet. There's a piece of armor for our feet. Do you recall how the Bible describes the armor for your feet? You remember that? It's in Ephesians chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, starts talking about all this stuff. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. These are really important things that we need. He describes this one as, the NIV calls it, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It's the most wordy one of them. Feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What is that? Another translation, the Contemporary English Version, puts it this way. It says, your desire to tell the good news about peace should be like shoes on your feet. So this piece of armor is, I'll call it the hiking boots of the gospel. The hiking boots of the gospel. Or the cowboy boots of the gospel. How about that? I'm wearing a cowboy boots of the gospel, ready to go. So I was thinking about the armor and these shoes of the gospel, whatever they are made of. And I have heard people say, this is just an aside, we're getting to the main point in a minute, so hopefully you can kind of track with me here. I've heard people say about the armor of God that there's one offensive weapon and the rest are defensive. The one offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. The rest is to protect you. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. That makes sense. That makes sense. But I started pondering the feet one and thought, you know, I'm not sure. I think the feet actually might be an offensive piece too. Because feet, readiness for the hiking boots of the gospel, that's not really to protect my toes. Helmet of salvation to protect that. The feet are to take it somewhere. I'm supposed to bring it. Carry my sword with the shoes, and when you think about the gospel, the gospel itself, it comes right out of here, right out of the sword. It's probably the sharpest part of the sword that we have. So I'm not sure, just something to ponder and think about, that the hiking boots of the gospel, that might be an offensive piece too. Maybe we have two. I don't know. If that's heresy, come talk to me later and we can straighten it out. Anyway, that was just a side. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to a lady named Wanda. She's probably watching this up in Vermont. She's my former youth leader from like a really long time ago. And she's on my prayer team. So a couple weeks ago, I'd sent out a prayer SOS. Like, I'd been having a rough week. Ann and I both had been a really intense week, just really difficult, really heavy. So she'd seen that prayer SOS. So she reached out and be like, hey, how you doing? And so she called. We talked on the phone. And God had worked through some of that, and it was doing okay. But while we were talking, she shared about how a friend of hers had reached out to her recently, And she was completely caught off guard, was not expecting this at all. Basically, the friend sent a text message out of the blue saying, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. How do I start that? Have you ever gotten a text message like that? That's for real. Like, I'm not making it up. You can talk to her. His name's Wanda. She's in Vermont. Go find her. Would you be ready to answer that text? With an answer that's beyond, talk to my pastor. Are you ready to answer that text message? Now, I'm going to guess that the crowd that we have here today, not all of you feel ready to answer that text. And that's okay. There was certainly a time when I was not feeling ready to answer a text like that. A couple of you, you're on the edge of your seat. Bring them on, baby. If they're ready to talk, I'm ready to go. Like, a couple of you are ready. Yeah, got a couple nods. Some of you are ready, some of you are not. That's okay. I'm guessing some of you feel intimidated by that, a little nervous. You don't want to mess it up. This is spiritual. This is eternal consequence. Like, you might feel unprepared to respond to that. So if that's you, do you want to be ready to respond to an opportunity like that? Do you want to? That's what this week is about. Being ready to respond to an opportunity like that, because this is the gospel. It's our only way back to God. And there are people who are disconnected with God, and it is serious, and it matters. And we're made to be connected with Him. So, I want to be ready, and I want as many of us to be ready as possible, because guys, God is stirring. God is stirring in people's hearts and people's lives, and there are opportunities popping up all over the place. Friend of mine, name is Mike, he's here. He got an opportunity this week. You can ask him about it. He got to share Jesus. And just Tim had an awesome opportunity at Oasis this week. There's a kid, a young man that I've been praying for just about every day, and I was sitting at the table, and Tim was just walking through the gospel, and this young man was soaking it in, just, what? This is significant stuff. He was engaged with it. So I want to be ready, and I want all of us to be ready, because God is stirring people, drawing people to Himself. Like, and this is like, it's not in any way that I've ever seen before. Like, God is moving in a different way. There are times of ups and downs when God is working and when maybe it seems like He's not. This is a time when God is working, and we want to be ready because God is working and He uses us. So if you want to have an answer better than, talk to my pastor, then I hope you can take some notes today. And inside your program, there's a list of scriptures that you stash those somewhere where you can get to them again, because this is all you need to walk somebody through the gospel. So maybe you're going to save a note in your phone so you can go back to it, or take a picture of your notes and save it as a favorite, whatever you got to do to hang on to it. You know, our phones can be a problem in a lot of ways, but they can be a handy tool too, so let's use it for good. So I'm going to walk you through the gospel today. And for many of you, you've heard these verses before. You've heard this truth before. But maybe this can help you be a little bit more ready when somebody comes to you who has not heard it before. So I'm going to give you the basic scriptures, and I'm going to give you a chance to watch me walk through the gospel with somebody else who needs it, who's showing some spiritual interest. So we were planning to do this 3 weeks ago, and for whatever reason, God was like, no, not yet. And this week is the week, and it happens to be the week that my friend Tim woke up unable to stand up. So I'm not sure why that is, but Tim is the guy who I get to talk to about the gospel, and hopefully he's going to be able to stand up right now. Like, not even sure. He messes back up, doesn't even know how, but he is risen. He is risen. Okay. Come on up, my friend. Oh, yeah. All right. So Tim's going to help me out, and we're gonna talk about the gospel today. So for today's purposes, Tim is a friend of mine who I've known for a long time, but he has not been walking with Jesus. He doesn't know God, but he kind of knows that I have some spiritual interests and things like that. But God's been at work in his heart. He's been at work in his heart. So how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I got a lot of heavy things going on in life right now. Like this morning, I woke up with a real bad back. I can't even touch my toes.
True story.
Yeah, but not even just that. I mean, like, my wife's upset with me. I just lost my grandfather. There's just chaos. I can't seem to control my kids. It just feels like everything is really heavy right now.
That's a lot.
All over the dime.
That's a lot, brother. That's a lot. I appreciate you being willing to, you know, just be open about that. And I don't know if this sounds weird to you, but I've been praying for you. I don't know if you're okay with that, but I've been praying for you for quite a while, and I'll pray about these things if you're cool with that. Like, I don't want to, like, do anything you're not cool with.
That's fine, just not right now.
That's cool. That's cool. But for me, it really helps to be able to bring these kind of heavy things to God. It just helps. So I don't know if that's something that you ever do, but
like praying?
Well, I mean, talking to God.
Occasionally, I think sometimes I probably said, "What the heck, God?" this morning, but I mean, not usually. It's not something I do. I mean, I prayed a couple times here or there. Usually in times of need, I think, if anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You feel like you're connected to God? You feel like He hears you?
No. I mean, I'm just a person living mm-hmm. life. And if God is real and He created all this, why would He ever want to listen to what I have to say?
Mm-hmm. Those are good questions. And I think they're important questions to think about. And I don't know. I don't have the answer to all those questions, you know, the things that are going on in your life, your back and your grandfather and different stresses going on. But I think to get an understanding about those things and maybe why they happen or why they don't change, where God is, there's another more fundamental question that I would like to ask you, if that's okay. Can I ask you kind of a spiritual question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So if I were to ask you, this is a question I've asked quite a few people recently, and it's interesting the answers I get. So if I were to ask you, what is the gospel? What would you say?
No, I'm not sure what that is. I mean, I think I've heard it before.
Okay.
I think it's just something Christians say, but I'm not really too
it
sure.
It's something that. Christians say, that's true. So no real idea.
No.
Okay. Okay. Freeze. The conversation leading up to sharing the gospel can go a million different ways. A million. So we don't really have time to develop a full relationship. I've known this guy for a long time, and he's acting right now. He knows the gospel. He knows what the gospel is, right? You get that. But when I'm talking to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, I would much rather ask them what they believe before I tell them what I believe. I want to hear where they're coming from. What do they think about God? And I won't ask all the questions, but I ask a couple. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about Jesus, about the Bible, about eternity, life after death? Like, those kind of questions really give you an idea. And I had a missions professor in college. I went to Bible college. And my professor said, if you listen well enough, they will tell you how to lead them to Jesus. You have to listen before you talk. And if you don't listen, you're going to hit a wall. So we've got to listen to understand. So, we're not going to develop that full relationship. We're just kind of going to launch in. But understand, there is a relationship that leads up to this. You don't just walk up to somebody and get to have a close relationship conversation. Now, you can talk to somebody at the mall. You can have or at the grocery store. Nobody goes to the mall anymore. You can talk to somebody on Amazon while you're shopping. You can have a cold conversation with somebody. A warm conversation is usually more effective. Like, you build some trust. Like, my missions professor also said, if they don't trust you, why would they trust your God? And that's valid too. So we're going to kind of just get right to it. I asked him what the gospel is after we've had the buildup of a relationship, and he knows where I'm coming from a little bit. And he doesn't really know what the gospel is. So okay, back to Tim. Okay, so the gospel. Most people don't really realize this, but the word gospel literally means good news. And it's not just good news like for whatever, it's good news from God. This is good news from God. So since you don't really know what it means, do you mind if I show you how the Bible describes the gospel? There's a couple verses that I would show you and see what you think.
Sure. How long is this going to take?
10 minutes. 10 minutes. You good? Do you need to sit down? I got a stool over here.
No. That's okay.
You got 10 minutes?
Yeah, I can
okay.
do it for 10 minutes.
That's because I mean, I don't want to just tell you, here's what I think. I want to show you what does the Bible say. The Bible is a really reputable source. It's been around for a really long time. Debatable. So I just want to show you what, okay, we can debate about that. So we're not going to argue whether it's true or not. I just want you to show you what it says for now. And then we can talk about all your hesitations and concerns and whatever. That's fine. But let's see. I've got a couple things to show you. These are all from the book of Romans. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul. And so the big picture, just kind of set the stage. What the Bible teaches us is that God wants a relationship with us.
Okay.
He wants to, when he made us, he designed us for relationships. And that's obvious. We're made for relationships. But part of that design includes a relationship with himself. He wants to know us. But there's a problem. That relationship is broken. Like, you feel distant from God. You talk to God, but it seems like he doesn't hear you.
Yeah.
Like, how do I even know that God hears me? Most of us feel distant from God, like he's really, really far away. Any idea how that happened? How we would have distance from God?
He's in heaven and we're here.
Okay, well, let's say there was a time when people had a closer relationship with God. Do you think God is the one who broke that relationship, or do you think maybe we had something to do with it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes distance just happens in relationships.
That's true. Well, let me show you the first verse. This is from Romans chapter 3. And I'll have you read it. I underlined it so it's easier to find. It's in the middle of a paragraph, but these are just kind of gems pulled out of several chapters that are all talking about the same thing. So Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Can you just read that?
Yeah.
Yeah, right there.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Okay. So what do you think? What do you think that's saying?
Well, I don't know. Sin, like people say sin, like, oh, what are the deadly sins? Like lust, gluttony, I don't know the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can talk about what sin is. But when you think about that relationship, who messed up the relationship between us and God?
I mean, it says us, but like I don't know. I feel like I live a pretty wholesome life. I try to help people. I even give money to people like they're homeless. Like, at the red light,
that's beautiful.
I'm in my car and I give money. Like
that's beautiful.
I feel like I'm trying to help. I'm like karma.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to create good karma.
Okay. So would you say that this verse does not apply to you then?
I feel like I'm pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay. There's a lot of pretty good people. So what this tells us is that all have sinned, even good people. So according to this, who broke the relationship?
I mean, according to this, us.
We did. Yeah, we did. And really, that's what sin is. It's breaking a relationship. And we think about, when you think about the relationship side of it, sin is a little bit like having an affair, right? So it's like cheating on God. And that may be a way to think about it. What happens when a guy cheats on his wife?
Usually not good.
Usually not good. Usually pretty ugly. It's a lot. It's really, really painful, right?
Yeah.
Often, most of the time, it kills a marriage.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to. But that's what
my wife will kill me.
Yeah, it might just, she yeah, would be a widow. She would be a widow.
Do that or castration, actually.
Okay. Delete that one from. That's what our sin does with God. It kills the relationship.
Yeah.
It's going our own way. It's like cheating on God. It's going away from God, ignoring God. It's loving other things more than we love him. And according back to this verse, who is guilty of this according to the verse?
It says everybody.
All. Everybody. We're all in the same boat. That's right. So, and you can read the first two chapters of this letter, Romans chapter 1 and 2, to see the variety of ways that people do this. There are so many different ways that we cheat on God, that we sin against God. I think you get the point.
I think so.
You get the point.
And this includes you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this verse tells us we're all in trouble. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. So what kind of trouble are we in? That brings us to the next verse. And that's to chapter 6, verse 23. Some people call this the Romans road. It's like a pathway back to God. So what does verse 23 of Romans 6 tell us?
It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Okay, good. So what do you see? What do you see there?
Let's talk about sin again.
Yeah.
And death.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's why we all die, because we've got sin.
Okay.
But like, everybody dies, right?
Mm-hmm.
The two promises, death and taxes.
Yeah, those are two promises.
I haven't seen anybody live for eternal,
No, no. So it says the wages of sin is death. You know what wages are, right?
Yeah.
Like if you work, you get a paycheck. Yeah. So that's what wages is. So according to this, if sin is our work, then our wages are death. And that's not great. This isn't the beautiful part of the good news. And I'm not looking forward to a payday like that. I don't want that payday. But it's actually worse than it looks, because it's not actually talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. This separation from God. It's the death of our relationship with God. Why we feel distant from Him. Why we feel like He's so far away. If we cheat on God by loving something else more, going our own way, which we all do, what we earn from that, regardless of the good things that we do over here, it doesn't talk about that at all. If we have sinned at all, we've earned spiritual death. So you don't see a math equation here to say, if all my good measures up to this and all my bad measures up to less than that, if the final is greater than zero, then I'm good. It doesn't mention our good at all. If I've got any bad, the wages of sin is death, any sin. That's what we earn. That's payday, separation from God. But that's just the first half of the verse. There's a but. I'm really thankful for when God puts a but in the Bible. That's some bad news. The wages of sin is death, but what? What does it say after that?
It says the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. There's wages and there's a gift. The wages is death and the gift is what?
Eternal life, which doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. Do you believe in eternal life? Do you believe that we live forever?
Not here, obviously.
Well, yeah, not
my
here.
My grandfather just passed away, so I... No.
Where do you think he is? Is he done?
I don't know. Maybe he comes back as, like, a butterfly or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe a butterfly. A toad, you know. Who knows?
A toad.
I don't know your grandfather.
He insulted my grandfather.
Right? No. Back to the verse. The gift is way better than the wages, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Without a doubt. So I think the important question here now is
heaven or hell.
Yeah, the Bible believes in those places, whether you or I do or not. The Bible talks about them. So if there's wages and there's a gift, an important question from here is, how do I get the gift?
Right, because right now you even said that your wages are death.
Yeah. Yeah, this verse applies to me just as much as anybody else. I get death too if I get the wages. I want the gift. How do I get the gift? So does the verse give us any hints on how do you get the gift?
Yeah, it says something about some guy named Jesus.
Yeah, eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that mean? Yeah, something about Jesus. So somehow through this guy who lived 2,000 plus years ago, we have access to this gift called eternal life. How?
Yeah, I don't know.
How do I get it?
Sense.
I mean, he hasn't been around for a really long time. So we're going to need some more information. So the next verse, you skip back to chapter 5 and verse 8. What does it say in Romans chapter 5, verse 8? Right here.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you make of that?
I don't know.
Read it again.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us.
Okay. So maybe there's stuff you don't understand in there, but what is something you do understand? What do you see?
That God is trying to show us love.
Yeah.
He says he demonstrates it.
Mm-hmm. And what did he do to show his love?
Christ died for us. I don't know how that shows love, though.
So think back to the first passage and the second one. It says here, Christ died for us. Who was supposed to die?
Wages, yeah. Us.
Us, right?
Yeah.
We were supposed to die, right? That was our wages, but because of God's love for us, remember, he wants a relationship. Because of his love for us, even though we cheated on him a whole bunch of times, we don't deserve this, he doesn't want to give us our wages. He wants to give us the gift. That's what he wants to do. That's why Jesus came. He came into our world, and he took our wages. That's what happened when Christ died for us. The good news is getting better. It's getting better. So what does that mean then, that Christ died for us? Does that mean everybody's now good because Jesus died for us?
That's what it sounds like.
You could see that. But it's not the way it is, because remember, we're talking about a gift. If somebody offers you a gift, what do you got to do?
Receive it.
You got to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So heaven forbid, but suppose you cheated on your wife and your wife's willing to take you back. You still have to come back. You still have to come back. You can't keep cheating on her and think everything's fine. That's how it is with God. We got to turn around. We got to come back to him. He's offering eternal life. He's offering a relationship with him. We have to come into it. We have to turn to him and say, I want it. He offers forgiveness, which we don't deserve. But I got to decide, I want to receive that gift. I want to come back.
Why wouldn't you, though?
Good question. Why wouldn't you? Maybe because we don't trust.
Or how?
Maybe, yeah, that's a good question. How do you come into that relationship? Well, there's one more Bible passage. I think we're on like 8 minutes right now. 2 more minutes, good?
We good? Sounds good.
Okay,
yep.
So one more passage. This kind of ties it all together. Yeah, you have to get back to work. This is a 15-minute break. 15-minute break. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13.
That's a lot.
It's the biggest section, but it ties it all together. Go ahead and read that.
That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is written with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
Yeah, keep going, read till the end of the paragraph this time. It's really, really long.
And as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on his name, or the name of the Lord, will be saved.
That was a lot. That was a lot.
Yeah.
What did you comprehend from that? What did you understand from that whole long section?
Something about saying something.
Yeah. Right.
And
something about saying something.
And believing.
Mm-hmm.
And believing that Jesus was the Lord, I think was said.
Mm-hmm. What does it say at the very end, that last verse?
Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you do that like the last minute or something before you're going to die?
No, I wouldn't wait. Why wait to reconnect with God? Why wouldn't we do it now? So this is a complicated passage. It says a couple things clearly. First, it says we have to confess. If you want to receive the gift, you have to confess that Jesus is Lord. Lord, that's a weird word. It basically means king. Jesus is king. He's my king. We have to believe that. He's not just some guy who died and he's gone. He's king. He's the Son of God. But it also says you got to believe that God raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus actually happened. Somebody rose from the dead. You might have to wrestle with that.
That seems strange.
Yeah, it is strange. But if you want to receive that gift, you got to believe that God is God. You can believe there's no God, and okay, so you have no relationship. But we believe God reached out to us and shared that truth with us through the Bible. And if you don't believe that, you won't have a relationship with God. And you have to wrestle with this honestly, but you have to come to the place, if you want to reconnect with God, you got to believe that Jesus is Lord. He's the King of Kings. You gotta believe that God raised him from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he has nothing to offer us. He's just a guy like all of us. But if he did, right, what if he did? Like, you have trouble believing, but what if it's true? What if it's true that Jesus really rose from the dead? Would that be significant, you think?
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah.
It would. You don't have to believe that it happened right now, but that's what you gotta wrestle through. Because this isn't just like believing some facts about God. This is a personal thing. You want to receive the gift of eternal life. This is a personal thing. I'm believing Jesus died in my place for my forgiveness. I'm one of those alls who sinned. I sinned. I need forgiveness. It doesn't matter about everybody else. Between me and God, I need to confess my sin. So part of this whole thing here at this last section of Scripture, it's including asking God to forgive me. I'm turning around. I'm coming back to him saying, I need you. I need forgiveness. I'm not worthy.
Do I have to be specific about my sins?
Well, if there's some sins that are on your mind that you feel guilty about, it would be really helpful to mention those to him. Because he wants to forgive that specific thing, not just some umbrella forgiveness. He wants to say, you know what? I forgive you that. So you don't have to think of everything you've ever done wrong in your whole life. That would take, I don't know how many times you've sinned, but that would probably take a long time.
Yeah.
But if there's stuff that's still in your mind, that would be a good idea. Bring it to him. Because what does it say at the end? Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. If you ask him, he'll take you. And that's the story of the Bible. So many places where people turn back to God, he is ready to take them back no matter what they've done. There's some pretty awful things, awful stories. People have done some pretty horrible things in the Bible. Probably far worse than anything you've ever done. So this is a lot to take in, but this is the gospel. All of us have sinned. What we deserve for that is death. But God came, he sent Jesus to take our death for us so we could have life. If we believe that, if we trust that Jesus is the Son of God and he did die for you, if you ask him to forgive you, to come into your life, he will, no matter what you've done. You can't earn God's kindness, his grace, his love. You can't earn it. None of us can. But you can receive it because he wants to give it to you. What do you think?
Sounds like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure right now.
That's okay. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to process, and I don't want to rush you on that, but to go back to your original question, you know, why isn't God fixing this problem in my life, or why is life hard? Why do these hard things happen in my life? Circling back to that, our relationship with God is the most important thing ever, because it's forever. That's the most important thing. And so sometimes God is going to allow hard things, partly because we live in a broken world. It's messed up. This world is messed up. So we go through messed up things. But sometimes God will use those messed up things to awaken you to spiritual reality, that he's there. He wants to walk with you. He wants to come to your side and give you strength for it. So sometimes hard things wake us up, help us realize our need for God. Because when we're hurting, that's when we call out to him. That's when you call out to him.
Yeah, my back hurts.
Right? And I'll let you sit down in a second. So sometimes those hard things are actually a good thing because God wakes us up with them. Not that those bad things that are happening are good, but God can use it to help us. Mm. More to think about. But has anybody ever explained the gospel to you like that?
No.
From the Bible?
No.
No? Okay. Well, first, from your first reaction, do you think it's true? Do you think there's any truth here?
I don't know. I think I have to... there's some really big things there.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
Yeah. So you're going to have to think about it some more, and I want to be available to talk to you anytime. Like, if you have questions, I can show you other scriptures, or we can talk about it. But can you at least see that who Jesus is pretty important to this conversation?
Yeah, it seems like he's the ticket, the key.
Yeah. If he is who we claim to be, if he rose from the dead, then this really, really matters. If he didn't, none of this matters at all.
Is there anything more about Jesus in here?
I think there's one other verse in the Bible that talks about Jesus.
Oh, really?
I can't remember where it is. No,
that's it?
Yeah, there's actually a lot. This whole story is about Jesus and how much he loves us and will pursue us. The whole story, even like long before Jesus came in the Old Testament, they call it, there are stories and prophecies that talk about the coming one who would come for us. They looked forward to his coming. We look back on his coming, but it's all about him and reconnecting with him. So you're gonna have to think about this some more and process and chew. But one suggestion, if you're trying to make sense of, like, did this really happen?
Yeah.
I find it to be a really good movie that came out. It's based on the life of a journalist who, his wife became a Christian, and it really ticked him off. He was so mad because she changed, and he wanted his old wife back. And so he set out to disprove Christianity, to prove that Jesus is not the Son of God. He's a journalist. He knew how to ask the questions, to dig for the facts. And the more he dug into the evidence, the more he realized the Bible's claims might actually be true. So he wrote the story because, well, his story turns around. His name is Lee Strobel. Mm-hmm. And the movie's called The Case for Christ. But if you want to think about this some more, I would love to just sit down and watch that with you sometime.
So is that like a Christian movie then? I guess.
Yeah, you could say that.
I think I've seen like one. They're pretty cringy.
Sometimes they're cringy. It's true. But this is a guy's story. And some of the same questions that you have. So even if it is a little bit cringy, it might actually help.
Yeah.
If you want to watch it sometime, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay.
And if not,
yeah,
we can talk about it. If you have more questions, I would love to talk.
Okay.
This is my favorite stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
So you have to get back to work.
I'm probably 2 minutes late
or
now.
Lay down on the couch or something. But this has been good. I appreciate you being willing to talk about it.
This is a lot to think about for sure.
Yeah. Well, keep thinking about it.
Okay.
Let's talk some more.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think? Never done that before in church. So if you're like, that was horrible, okay, just tell me. That's fine. But thank you, Tim. Thank you for doing this. We were ready to do this 3 weeks ago. But sometimes listening into a conversation can be helpful. You know, this isn't I need to record and memorize that conversation because you're not me and I'm not you. But the gospel is the same. So the scriptures are what you need to latch onto and write them down or put them in your Bible or put them in your phone or something, because that's what you need to share Jesus with people. Not like my approach and the things I say in between, but this is the core. All have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Jesus came to take our death. And if we call out to him, he'll forgive anybody. Those are the four scriptures. Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5, 8, and 10, 9 through 13. It's right there. So when I like to do that, I like to have them read it themselves. This is the power. This is the authority. I like to have them read it and tell me what it means. That's what we did. You tell me what you understand, because then you know where to talk about, what they're getting and what they're not getting. So do you think that you could have a conversation with somebody like that? In front of 80 other people. I'm just kidding. But seriously, do you think you could have a conversation like that? You got the scriptures you need. It's the guide. It's the Romans road. It shows you the path to be reconciled to God. With God's help, you can. Whether you're 12 or 75. Anything over that? Yeah, no. So one of the things that people get stuck on is, how do you lead into the conversation? how do you actually get into a conversation about that? You remember what I said earlier? Like, I like to ask people what they believe. Like, you can ask people what they believe about God. Like, that's not, you can just cold turkey step into that one. Hey, what, you know, I'm a Christian, and I like to understand what other people think and what other people believe. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about eternal life? Most people don't mind talking about that. So that's how I would start it usually. But after you've done that, you listen to them. Do you remember the question I asked to get started with Tim? What was the question? Yeah, what is the gospel, right? Right. So this is in your notes too. If I were to ask you, what is the gospel, what would you say? It's not a complicated question. One of the recent times I asked that question, they said it's the Bible. It's the Bible. Like, okay, that's all right. We can talk about it from there. So then following up, do you mind if I show you what the Bible describes as the gospel? And then you got the four passages. Guys, we want to understand this. We want to be, not just know it for ourselves, but know it so we can share it. Because the gospel is people's only way back to God. It's the only way back to God. This is our hope. And as of today, you have what you need to share it with people. You have what you need. Even if you didn't listen to anything I said, but you have a program in your pocket, the scriptures are right there. You have what you need. So, whatever happened with Ashley's hospice patient, whatever happened with him, so he told Ashley, pretty sure I'm going down, right? And from there, Ashley bravely launched into the good news. She shared the good news with him right then and there. He told her he believed he'd done too much wrong to ever get into heaven. So basically, he knew the first part of the gospel, all have sinned, me too. That's what he knew. The wages of sin is death. Somehow he intuitively knew that. So from there, Ashley was able to assure him, guys, or whatever his name is, I don't even know his name. God doesn't work that way. You don't have to be good enough to get into heaven, because none of us are. But Jesus came and he died for us so we could be forgiven. That's what we need. And if you put your trust in Jesus, you can be forgiven by God and have eternal life. That's the basic message that she shared with him. And with only a handful of days left to live, he believed. He trusted. He received the good news. Guys, what if Ashley had just kept everything strictly professional? It's been 3 weeks. He has passed. Where would he be? He'd be apart from God forever. But at the very last minute, he was saved. Praise God for beautiful feet, right? So I did get permission, and I can prove to you that I have permission to share this. This is a text message when I was saying, hey, Ashley, I think I'd like to share this. Is that okay? I do that most of the time. So she said, I just read your email. It's beautiful and accurate. You have my permission to share. Also an update, I prayed with him, and he passed yesterday. So she had a conversation, shared the gospel. He seemed to receive it. The next week she followed up. They prayed together. He received Jesus, and the next day he passed. And then, also, are you ready for this? The radio that was on in his room switched to worship music overnight before he passed, and his daughter has no idea how because he was unable to function. Don't know how that happened. Whether it was one of the nurses like, oh, I overheard what happened there, I'm going to turn that, or whether that was an angel who came down and turned that, but when he passed, the night he passed, he had worship music playing in his room. He went to be with Jesus. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. What about Wanda, right? That friend who texted her, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Well, they're having a weekly Bible study now. They're meeting together every week to talk about the Bible, to talk about the gospel, to talk about Jesus. Other ladies are jumping in on it. Like, she's in the beautiful feet, bringing the good news. Different opportunities come all the time. Do you guys feel ready to share the good news with somebody? Again, one, two nods, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. I'm going to count to 70, okay? No. But if you get a text like Wanda got, if you get an opportunity like Ashley had, are you ready to step through that door? You have what you need. You have what you need. And if you don't feel ready, what's your next step to prepare? To get ready. Because you have what you need, and this stuff matters. This stuff matters. So I gave you some next steps to think about. They're up on the screen. They're in your programs. Maybe it's just a matter of saving those scripture references. Maybe you want to memorize those scriptures. Maybe you want to just tuck them away so they're just, whether you have a Bible or a phone or not, you've got it in your head. But take a minute. Okay, do I want to do this? Do I want to? There was a time, I'm telling you, I did not want to share Jesus with people. Now I do. I don't know where you're at, but this is meaningful stuff. This is important stuff. So what's your next step if you want to take a step forward and being more ready the next time God opens the door? And maybe your next step, I need to get right with God myself. I want to have a relationship with God. Maybe you don't. That's okay. Now you know how to get one. We just walked through it. If you need to talk to somebody, me or somebody else, do that. We want to be right with God, and then we want to share that with other people. So take a minute between you and God, and then Matt's going to come up in just a minute.
Matthew 28 says that we're supposed to go and make disciples of all nations. And the reason that we can do that is because God doesn't just drop us off a cliff after we accept Christ. Christ is with us at that point and doesn't leave us. And as Christians, that's something that our lives need to live out as a witness, because we're called to be witnesses. And that can be a struggle sometimes. Sometimes we're not who we're supposed to be. And this is a song that I've come back to so many times to remind me of who I am supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. And again, it was just one of those songs this week that I needed. So if you would stand with me, we're going to sing this old song, but it's a good song. It's called Lead Me to Calvary. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Daily my cross for thee,
I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thine love for me, lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thine.
You can be seated.
Thank you, Matt. Lead me to Calvary. That's pretty important. And you can be praying for my friend Tim that he will come to Calvary. He has come to Calvary. Next week is our last week in this series. And then for our last week, we're going to be talking about how do we share our own story? Because God has come into our lives, and we want to be able to share that. So for part of that, my friend Bonnie is going to share some of her story, and she'll be sharing some of how she came to faith in Jesus. And you'll be encouraged and maybe equipped a little bit to think about, how do I share my story? Because every single person's story is a little bit different. But it all comes around the same gospel, the same truth. So hopefully you can come back for that. Couple things to let you know about. Some of you have not been here before, and one way that this is a sneaky way that I get to know your name. If you fill this thing out and put it in the offering box in the back, then I will remember your name. And if you want me to reach out to you, then I would love to connect. So we love to connect with each other here, and this is a place where we don't just do church, but we are the church, and we want to encourage each other and know each other and lift each other up. So if you'd like to let us know who you are, fill this thing out, put it in the offering box. If you've been with us for a while and there are prayer needs, we have a prayer team that will pray for you. You can put that on the back, drop that in the offering box, and you have a team of people who will pray for you. No matter what it is, they will pray. So we also have, we got home groups going on finally after a couple weeks break. So home groups are kind of taking this topic to the next level and just further equipping us to be ready to share Jesus. So it's a place to connect and grow. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, three different options. We have this book club thing that we started. Our second meeting is this coming Sunday. We'd realize after the fact that it's also Super Bowl Sunday. So we got a few things planned for that day, but if you want to be part of that, that's going to be at 11 o'clock after the service. And then we have a big game watch party at my parents' house, 331 Luella Drive. If you want to watch the game with a bunch of people, some of whom don't care about football and some of whom do, come on out and bring some food. I do have an announcement for the men. If you've been part of the Saturday group, we're meeting this coming Saturday. The book that we're going to start talking through, there's a whole bunch of them on the information table downstairs for free. You can just grab one if you want. I think some are new, some are used. You can flip through. There's writing in this one. I don't want it. Whatever. Take a copy if you want it. If you already bought one, that's fine. If you want to be part of the men's group and don't know anything about it, talk to me. Talk to one of the other guys. That's Saturday mornings, every other Saturday. And then the last thing, we've got a ladies' Galentine brunch. I never heard of that before, but I think it's about gals getting together on Valentine's Day for brunch. I mean, I think it explains itself. But if you like to be part of that, information is here, and you're welcome to jump in on that. I won't see you there, I promise. I think that's all we've got for today. There are refreshments downstairs. The other church is going to be coming in, so we got about 10 minutes up here, and then we need to be downstairs so that they can come in and do their thing, because there are two worship services going on in the same building. So thank you guys for being here today. I hope you have a great week.